The Gemara says that Rav Machner gave an introduction to Megillas Esther from the Posig in Chumash, when it says, Ki mi goy godol asher lo elokim kerovim elof, ka Hashem elokeinu v'chol koreinu elof. There's a Posig in Parshas for Eschanan, which says, Ki mi goy godol. There is there another great nation, Asher lo Elokim Krovim Alof, to whom Hashem is so close, Ka Hashem Elokeinu, like our God, the Chol Koreinu Elof, whenever we call to him, he is with us. He's there. And even though it's hard to see what special connection this pasuk has with Megillas Esther or the Nes of Purim, we are helped a little bit by the Targum, which translates Asher lo Elokim kerovim elof delay Eloko korislei lekabolo tziluto beidan aksei, to whom Hashem is so close that he will accept their tfilos, he will hear their tfilos in a time of tzorah. The Yancho Hashem the Yom Tzoro. So since the Nes of Purim came in response to the Tfilah of Klal Yisrael, so that's why Rav Masne thought that this pasuk was a nice introduction to bring out the unique quality of the Nes of Purim. And Maharal comments on this Gemara. You know that the Maharal has a sefer called Our Chodesh, which is only concerned with explaining the Nes of Purim and the entire Megillah, posik by posik. Very extensive and beautiful perush called Our Chodesh. And he comments on this statement in the Gemara by saying, Ki hatzolas Yisrael de geula zeh hoyu mikoach hatfila. The hatzolah of Klal Yisrael in this particular geula, the geula of Purim, was the koach of tfila, shehoyu govrim bozeh al Amalek betfila, because Klal Yisrael were overwhelming. Amalek was the koach of tfila. Even though Amalek came upon Klal Yisrael with the power of the kingdom and the army and the weaponry and all kinds of wicked calculations that they made in order to bring Klal Yisrael down, the only weapon that Klal Yisrael used, or for that matter needed, in order to fend off this onslaught, was the Koach HaTfilah. Kiddush Siv, because we have a Posik, HaKol, Kol Yaakov, the HaYadayim, Yedei Esau. And our Chachomim explain, Im Ein Kol, Kol Yaakov, if there is no Kol, what kind of a coal? A coal of tefillah from Yaakov. So then the Yadayim will be the Yedei Esav. And as everybody knows, that Amalek is representing Esav. Eliphaz was Esav's oldest son, and Amalek was the son of Eliphaz. So Amalek is the Bechor of Esav, and he represents the base Esav. Just like in the case of Purim, Mordechai and Esther represent the base Israel. So Homon, Hoagogi, who is from Mishpachas Amalek, so he represents here the Koach of Esav. So when the Kohel is Kohel Yaakov, then there are no Yodayim Yedei Esav. The Kohel of Yaakov renders the Yedei Esav impotent. So that's why in this particular case, the tefillah of Klal Yisrael, specifically the tefillah of Mordechai and Esther, was able to bring a hatzolah to Klal Yisrael from this tzora of Amalek. And furthermore, Maral says, defined by Milchemes Amalek, which is the end of Parshas, Yishalach, very good. And we read that on Purim, right? That's the Krio of Purim. It says over there, Kasher Govru Yidei Moshe B'Tfiloh. So, when Moshe Rabbeinu raised his hand in Tfiloh, then it's V'Govar Yisrael. So then the Bnei Yisrael were able to overcome the army of Amalek. For you go in Yisrael, the Kasher Yoniach, the Moshe Rabbeinu's hands came down from exhaustion. So then there was no Kohel Yaakov. Then Moshe Rabbeinu momentarily interrupted his tefillah simply to give in to his physical exhaustion. So then it says, V'govar Amalek. And we see there also that the Targum explains that Katzokiv Moshe Yodo Bitzlo. Tzeluso, or the Tzelo in Lashon Targum, means Tefillah. So when Moshe Rabbeinu let go of his hands that were raised in Tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's when Amalek gained the upper hand. But when Moshe Rabbeinu represents Klal Yisrael in Tefillah, so then Amalek didn't have a chance. Which Maral says proves Hareiloch ki hatfiloh hu notzchon shal Amalek. It's the kawach of tfiloh of Klal Yisrael that defeats Amalek. V'zeo inyan ha-Megillah. And that's the whole story of the Megillah. How the kawach of tfiloh of Klal Yisrael defeated Amalek. That's the whole story of the Megillah in a nutshell. Like this is how Maral ends up. And I know that you either are or should be shifting uneasily in your seats. That's uniquely the story of Purim. Klal Yisrael has been through a lot of tzoras from a lot of different enemies, and we know that in every Tzorah of Klal Yisrael, the Koach of Tfilah plays a crucial role. We wouldn't have been able to simply visualize the Gula from Mitzrayim without the Koach of Tfilah. I mean, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem, and Vanitzak el Hashem elokei avoseinu, Vayishma Hashem eskaleinu, Vayaros onyeinu, Vestamoleinu, Vestachatzeinu. So they are long psukim and very great emphasis on the Koach of Tfilah in the case of the Gula Mitzrayim, and for that matter every other Tzora. And then Klal Yisrael were fighting to occupy Eretz Yisrael at the time of Yericho, or the Battle of Ai, or whatever you remember from Sefer Yehoshua. So it always speaks about the Tfilah and the Shofar and the Kohanim and so on, all concentrated on the Indian of Tfilah. So far as that some of the Mephoshim learn that Pesach is in a trekoin of Pesach, that is the mouth of Klal Yisrael talking. That's the Kol Yaakov. That's the crucial element in the Geula of Klal Yisrael, was that the, simply the mouth of Klal Yisrael was somehow redeemed, that it was capable of delivering a tefillah. You remember Posik, Onochi Hashem Elokecho, Amar Ucho Me'eretz Mitzrayim? How does the pasuk continue? Hachev picho v'hamaleo. What's that got to do with Hamalcho me'eretz Mitzrayim? Hachev picho v'hamaleo. But the Navi is saying that at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael discovered its mouth. I liberated you from Eretz Mitzrayim. Hachev picho. Now it's the time to open your mouth wide. V'hamaleo, so that I shall fill it. It means open your mouth wide with tefillah, and then I will respond to your tefillah with Yeshua and Geula and so on. So we see that tefillah plays a crucial role in Pesach also, or for that matter in every other Geula. So what are Chazal trying to bring out when they say that the tefillah was that unique element that defeated Amalek, and that signifies the geula of Klal Yisrael from the Tzara of Purim. And I'll take it a step further. When the Megillah introduces Mordechai, so it says as follows. Sure that you all know your Megillah almost by heart. Ish Yehudi hayav shushan hadira ushamau Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish ish Yemin. Right? Because that's part of everybody in the Tzibur reads before the Shliach Tzibur, so that's why we are all familiar with that. So Chazal in the Gemara explain why did it have to enumerate the Yichis of Mordechai, that he was Ben Yoir, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish. So the Lashon is Ben Yoir, Sheheir Einehem Shel Yisrael Betfilato. That he enlightened the eyes of Bnei Yisrael with his tefillah. Ben Shimi, Sheshama Keil Tefilato, that Hashem listened to his tefillah. Ben Kish, Shehikish al Share Rachamim, that he thundered upon the gates of mercy in the hour of despair. Vinifdechula, and in response to his urgent plea, so these Share Rachamim, the gates of mercy, were opened to him. Now I want you to lend an ear to the refinements of the Lashon of Chazal. This is not just a long litany of repetitious sort of expressions about tefillah, but there's a very fine emphasis over here that it says Ben Yoir Sheheir Einehem Shel Yisrael B'tfilosai. He enlightened them. In other words, he revealed to them a dimension of tefillah that they had known before. And Ben Shimi, that Shishoma Keil tefillosa Hashemifoch, listened to his tefillah. In other words, there was something new over here, something that had never been before there. Because, I mean, if it would be just any other tefillah, so we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the tefillahs. Ki atah shomea tefillas amcha Yisrael barachamim. So what is the special title of Mordechai? He is called Ben Shimi because Shoma Keil El Tefillos. In other words, he presented to HaKadosh Baruch Hu a new tzura, a new dimension, a new quality of tefillah that otherwise would not have been listened to. It wouldn't have been accepted. Just in the context of Mordechai's tefillah in this particular tzara, so Shoma Keil tefillosa. And finally, that Shehikish al Dalse Rachamim, that he banged and thundered against the gates of Rachamim, and they were open to him. In other words, that anyone else, under any other circumstances, would have never achieved, that the gates of mercy would have been opened to him the way they were open to Mordechai in this particular situation. So what is the unique dimension, that special quality of the tefillah of Mordechai that brought out this extraordinary response? Again, okay. Mordechai certainly didn't invent tefillah. I mean, you know that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov constantly were mispalel. And throughout the history of Klal Yisrael, tefillah is simply part of our avoda and part of our constant experience. And so why is this sudden emphasis on tefillah in the time of Mordechai the Esther, with the aspect of newness? There was something new and original about it that hadn't been there before. Now, the most basic introduction into the concept of tefillah is based on a posik that we say in every Shmona Esrei, Yiyula Rotzon Imreifi VeHegyon Libi Lefonecho Hashem Tzuri VeGavali. So that posik tells us two things. Number one, that tefillah is divided into two major categories. One category is called Imreifi, and the other category is called Hegyon Libi. Imreifi means simply the words that are coming out of my mouth. And the meaning to the words that are coming out of my mouth, they are still part of Imreifi. That's not yet Hegyon Libi. But we call Perush HaMilos, the simple kavana of the words that we are saying, that's not yet called Hegyon Libi. That's all part. I mean, if you sum mouthing words without having any input as to their meaning, so that's not even called tefillah. So Imreifi is the simple kavonas hamilos that are coming out of our mouth. Hegyon Libi is already a deeper dimension. That Dalef Neimia Torah made the realization before whom we are standing with tefillah, and understanding our own shiflus amata, how lowly our own position is, and how exalted is the position of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to whom we address our tefillah. And these things that are not really being verbalized through the Imreifi, they are nevertheless part of Hegyon Libi. And then the posse concludes, Hashem Tzuri VeGavali, and thereby the posek is telling you that the koach of tefillah needs a geula. There is something daring about tefillah. For a person, for a human being, for a yelud isha, for a ben adoma, for such a small and lowly creature to stand before the King of Kings and make a demand. Even just to stand before Hashem and speak His glory is audacious. Who are you, like, to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and speak about His greatness? Like, I mean, assuming that there would be here a choir of ants singing the praises of any one of us, you wouldn't even acknowledge it. You are so small and so insignificant, and you don't represent anything. And you are going to sing my praises. With one step of my foot, I can finish you all off. And I mean, you don't contribute anything to my well-being. So why should I acknowledge or get any kind of a nachas ruach out of your ballads and songs of praise? Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekabel the tefillos of Bnei Adam. And I'm talking now only about the shach, the praise. But what about if you go a step further, that we are coming to visit shopping list 3 times a day? Gefur and Slicha and Shuva and Tarnotze and Kapore and Gula and it doesn't even end. We are making demands yet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Give us Seichel and give us Gefur and give us Tarnotze and build Yerushalayim for us and so on. So there's something audacious about stepping before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and being his power. And that's the emphasis of Hashem Tzuri V'Gawali. Tzuri meaning that you are the only address of my tefillah. It doesn't make sense to be mispalel in any other direction except in the direction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's the only one who is deserving of praise on the one hand, and the only one to whom it makes sense to address our pleas, because he's the only one who can help. But V'Gawali, you have to redeem me. You have to redeem me out of my lowliness, out of my shiflus, out of my just being a mortal. And I really have no strength and no business standing before you. It is only your graciousness that redeems my lowliness in order that I can take a position before you and say my tefillah to you. That's Hashem Tzuri V'Gawali. So that is a very general introduction into the Indian of Tefillah. And I repeat, the Navi makes the point to differentiate between Imrei Pi, which is perhaps the simplest form of Tefillah, and then there's Hegyon Libi, that is already a person who really puts his heart into his Tefillah. Not just the simple meaning of the words that he is saying, but his entire machshava is totally concentrated in devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's not all that there is. To the dimensions of our heart, Novi says in one place that the lev is omok mikol, that's there's more depth to the human heart than to any other Indian on earth. And we find in the Novi an expression which is called ta'alumos lev. Beyond Hegyon Libi, there is also something called Ta'alumos Lev. What is Ta'alumos? These are the hidden recesses of the heart. They are so hidden. They are so deep that most of the time we are ourselves not even aware of their existence. Yet, every conscious thought is strongly influenced by this Ta'aluma slave, if you wish to use a very modern translation, you may even call it a subconscious feeling that is deeply rooted in our heart. That's as the Ta'aluma slave of Klal Yisrael. And basically we are unaware of the existence of our subconscious, and we always try to rationalize everything that we say or do this conscious thought, and really don't appreciate to what large degree all our conscious thought is really influenced by the subconscious. And when we speak about Ta'aluma slave, this is a little abstract, but it will become more tangible as we talk about it more. It is these ta'alumot slaves that identify with the atzmiyus of the Nefesh Yisrael. Let me explain that a moment. Every creature that we deal with has the chitzonius and the pnimius. It has external aspects and it has the essential aspect. When we talk about the atzmius, we talk about the essence of a bria, or perhaps let's just concentrate on the human stature. There are things about us that are just externalism, and then there are things about us that are essential aspects of our being, of our personality, of our character. I mean, in the everyday experience, we meet a person, so we are dealing with externalisms, clothes, and physiognomy, and complexion and stature, but these are external aspects. They really tell us very little about who that human being is. Even if you know a person's appearance thoroughly, you know a person's wardrobe and you can pick out that person, let's say, in a crowd. You know the sound of that person's voice. So all external, it doesn't tell you really anything about the true nature of such a person. When you start to speak about middos and character traits and so on, so you get a little closer to the atzmiyus. And little by little, the true nature of the person reveals itself. The machshava and the midah and the pu'ula of the person tells a lot more than just the external appearance. But then again, even with all the machshava and all the midahs, that doesn't really prove that you know everything about that person. They are still ever more hidden dimensions and aspects and properties to the nefesh, that till you really can say that I know the true essence of such a person, but gotta know somebody very, very well. And a good measure of Ruach HaKodesh would help, but just using our own limited resources of understanding, even if you are a great psychologist and study the nature of human beings over many years and so on, you still have a very, very hard time to really figure out what is the atzmius of such a person. And when you're dealing with an ummah, with an entire nation, you deal with Klal Yisrael. You know a lot about Klal Yisrael, but to know the atzmius of the Nefesh Yisrael beyond the externalism, so that's not the tall order. Usually the worst contradiction is between what comes out of our mouth and what we really think deep down in our heart. So what we are saying, that's an externalism. Can't take that at face value. Most of the time we don't say what we really mean. And that all presupposes that when we say, I really mean it, that we think we mean it. And many times we think we mean it and we really don't mean it. Because the ta'alumot slave are still in contradiction with the lave. The lave says, I mean it, but the ta'alumot slave really don't mean it. So there we come to the first differentiation between the geula of Mitzrayim and the geula of Purim. The Gemara wants to know why we don't say Hallel and Purim. And the Gemara says it with the Kal Vachomer. If you say Hallel and you go me Avdus L'Cherus, you certainly should be saying Hallel and you go me Misa L'Chayim. Meaning what? That the Geula of Pesach, of Mitzrayim, was the Geula of me Avdus L'Cherus. Whereas the Geula from Purim, that was the Geula Misa L'Chayim. Now I don't have to elaborate anymore to bring to your attention that when you go me Avdus L'Cherus, so there's a very important and significant part of your personality being liberated. Till now you were an Eved. Now you become a free person. In other words, as an Eved, as a slave, you are totally dominated by the master. You don't really have an identity of your own. You don't have a personality of your own. You don't have any property of your own. You are just an Eved. But now you go, me avdus l'cherus, so you suddenly discover tremendous aspect about yourself. That's the liberation, me avdus l'cherus. But it is not necessarily true that through the geula me avdus l'cherus that your atzmius is going to be liberated, because the atzmius was never involved in the shibut. Whatever shibut there is, whatever avdus means, it does not really affect your atzmius. But then you talk about the geula me misa l'chayim. Misa, of course, that affects your atzmius. So what I'm trying to point out is that in the tzora of Mitzrayim, our atzmius wasn't threatened. And when your atzmius isn't threatened, so it's not going to be liberated. You can't redeem something that isn't threatened. Whereas in the tzora of Purim, our atzmius was threatened. And that's why when we experience the geula from that tzora, so in that geula, the atzmius of Klal Yisrael was liberated. That's all included in this one liner in the Gemara, Mimisa L'Chayim L'Kol Shekhen. Just as a footnote, the Gemara says that the reading of the Megillah, that's the Hallel. There is a need to say Hallel on Purim, but it's the reading of the Megillah, that is our Hallel. There's no need for another Hallel. That's just a footnote. But the basic idea that I'm trying to convey to you now is that since Chazal explained the Geula of Purim being Mimisa L'Chayim, so that means that at that occasion the Atzmius of Klal Yisrael was liberated. The subconscious of Klal Yisrael became conscious. Or the Ta'aluma slave, the hidden recesses of the heart, became out into the open. They were revealed to Klal Yisrael themselves, or for that matter to Kol Bo'ei Olam. That new dimension about Klal Yisrael that was revealed through the Nes of Purim, that's the dimension of Ta'aluma slave. And Ta'aluma slave always goes together with the Atzmius. So that explains what you always learned in high school and in seminary over and over, that the significance of Purim is that at the time of Har Sinai there was Kofar Aleihem Har Kigigis. There was no total acceptance of Torah and Mitzvot. And Hode V'Kibluo Yimeach HaShveirosh. At the time of the Nes of Purim, out of gratitude, Klal Yisrael were really mekabel the Torah Barasan. I think that this is something that everybody knows. I'm trying to explain to you that even though Bnei Yisrael said at Har Sinai Nase V'Nishmo voluntarily, but the Ta'alumah slave of Klal Yisrael were not involved. When they said Nase V'Nishmo, they meant it. How far did they mean it? They meant it bepeh and they meant it belev, except for the Ta'alumah slave. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to put this threat, this pressure on them. Kofa aleihem har ki gigis. He held the mountain threatening over them and said to them, if you're not going to accept the Torah, so I lower that mountain over you. You'll be buried right here. Because there was a dimension about the personality of Klal Yisrael that was not yet committed to Torah and Mitzvot. But at the time of the Nes of Purim, the Ta'alumah slave of Klal Yisrael were redeemed. And they identified as Torah and Mitzvot to the point of Hodeh V'Kiblu V'Mei Achashverosh. Let me quote from a startling medrash in Tehillim. There's a posik in Tehillim, Perik Lamed Vav. Vayefatuhu befihem. They beguiled him with their mouth. Ubelishonam yechazvulau. They lied to him with their tongue. Velibom lo nochen imau. Their heart wasn't really with him. And they weren't loyal to the covenant. Want me to say, read it again? They beguiled him with their mouth. With their tongue they lied to him. They were dishonest. Their heart wasn't really with him. And they were not loyal to his covenant. And the Medrash explains on that pasuk. What's the pasuk talking about? Rabbi Berechio, b'shem Rabbi Levi Omar, b'shnei mekomos po'alu Yisrael. There were two occasions that Klal Yisrael achieved something. There were two occasions for a major achievement of Klal Yisrael. The echad po'alu b'fiyem v'lo b'libo. At one occasion, they accomplished something with their mouth, but not with their heart. The echad po'alu b'libo v'lo po'alu b'fiyem. Another occasion, they accomplished something with their heart, but not with their mouth. The Elohim. What are these two occasions? Sinai u'bava. Sinai is one, Bovel is the other. B'Sinai, b'fiyem v'lo b'libam. What was the accomplishment of Sinai, which was just with their mouth, without their hearts? Hahudachsev, like we just read a posik, v'yefatuhu b'libam, u'v'lishonim yechazvulo, that they said Nase v'nishmo with their mouth, but their heart wasn't in it. It was a great accomplishment because they said Nase v'Nishmo and that gave them the Torah, but their heart wasn't in it. He wouldn't dare to say that. But if Chazal find that in a pasuk, so it's startling. They said it, but their heart wasn't in it. The Bovel, what happened in Bovel? Po'alu b'libam. They accomplished something with their hearts. Kimove. The Kiblo, in their hearts, they really accepted the Torah for low BPM, but not with their mouth, because we know that when challenged, they bowed down to the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. We know that Chazal tell us that the reason that the Bnei Yisrael were exposed to the Gezerah of Haman was a punishment for bowing down to the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. But they did that only with their mouth. They didn't mean that. They didn't have any faith in that about the Zohar. Just under the threat of death. So they made believe. They made it look like they were worshipping the Avodah Zorah that was just bepeh v'lo b'lev. Like it says in Echo Kiloy Onu Milibo, that didn't emanate from their heart. Omar HaKadosh Baruch. So HaKadosh Baruch said, Yov al peh shebisinai v'yechaper al peh shebibobo. Let that mouth of Sinai that so eagerly and nobly proclaimed Naaseh v'nishma come and atone for the pair of bovel which mouthed loyalty to an Avodah Zorah, even though they didn't mean it. It was nevertheless an ugly thing for them to say it. So the mouth of Sinai is atoning for the mouth of bovel. The Yovo Leif Shiva Bovel, and let that noble heart of Bovel, the Kimo the Kiblo of Bovel, come the Yechape Aleif Shiva Sinai and atone for that uncommitted heart of Sinai. Their commitment at Sinai left something to be desired. But then when they made a total and full hearted commitment at the time of Bovel, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let that commitment atone for the lack of commitment that happened at Sinai. Afal Pikein, the Posseg in Echo continues, Vayagei b'nei ish, hevi aleim ish tsar v'oyev. Still HaKadosh Baruch Hu unleashed the ish tsar v'oyev against them, Zehomon, v'hege es makoson, to clear away, to purify their makor, their injury, their wound, that blemish on the record of Klal Yisrael. There's a blemish on the record of Klal Yisrael. You said Naaseh v'nishma and you didn't mean it. And bowed down to the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar, even though your heart wasn't in it, but nevertheless you made it look like that. So therefore you still need imiruk avonos al yidei yisurim, a cleansing of your misdeeds through the suffering that they experienced as a result of the Gezeiras Haman. So there you have Chazal bringing it out into the open that the pair of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the pair of Har Sinai, was a pair without a lave. And even though it wasn't entirely without a lave, but it certainly was without the Ta'alumos. When they said Naaseh v'nishma, they meant Naaseh v'nishma, but it was a superficial kind of a commitment. The Ta'alumos lay, the Atzmius, the true essence of the Nefesh Yisrael was not involved. And that still needed redemption. First, their very essence, their very existence, had to be risked at the time of Haman. Mimisa lechayim, lehashmit, velarog, o leabed, es kol ha-yehudim, inava, azok, en taf, en noshim, v'yom echot. And there the etzem of Klal Yisrael was laid on a line. And then in that crucial moment, they demonstrated their loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch, and thereby redeemed and liberated the Ta'alumo slave of Klal Yisrael. Let me now read that posik in Tehillim that speaks about the Ta'alumo slave in its proper context. Im shochachnu shem Elokeinu, even if we forgot the name of Hashem, v'nifros kapeinu el eil zor, and we raised our hands in worship to an idol. Hallo Elohim Yachkozaus.
let Hashem Yahkoa is investigated, let him look deeply behind the external kind of a demonstration of worship. Ki hu yodea ta lumos lei. He knows our heart. Even if he sees a nation of Yisrael bowing in apparent loyalty and worship to the Abba of the Zohar, Halo Elohim Yachkozav. Let Hashem look into the circumstances of this apparent betrayal. Is that really the Nefesh Yisrael? Is that our Atzmiyus? Ki hu yodea ta'alumas lei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the true inner heart of Klal Yisrael. The inner heart of Klal Yisrael has only one loyalty, and that is to Hashem Yisbarach. In the history of Klal Yisrael, there were many occasions when it looked like its nation as a whole is betraying the covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Halo Elohim Yachadav. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu see through the externalisms. Ki hu yodeya ta'alumos lei. I'll read the whole Indian again. Im shochachnu Shem Elokeinu. Even if he appeared to be guilty of having forgotten Hashem Yisborach's name, but nifros kapeinu el zor, having lifted our hands in prayer and worship to an alien god. Halo Elokim yachkozot. But Hashem will really make a chakiro. He will make an investigation. He will look deeply into our nefesh. Ki hu yodea ta'alumos leiv, because he is the one who knows the ta'alumos leiv. So that's really the situation that was involved. Here you see the Bnei Yisrael being mishtachave to the tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar, and they joined the pseudo of Achashverosh. So it certainly had the appearance of a nation disloyal to the covenant to Hashem Yisbarach and becoming ever more involved and assimilated with the Avodah Zorah and with the Umas HaOlam. Through the Gezerah of Haman, and found that the Ta'aluma slave of Klal Yisrael, when it went for Mimisa L'chaim, when the real essence of Klal Yisrael was threatened, so then they demonstrated the true Emunah. And that is the Ta'aluma slave of Klal Yisrael that was liberated through the Nes of Purim. In recognition of the purity of the Ta'aluma slave of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved them from the Tzorah of Haman. Is that a very old concept that has no relevance as far as we are concerned? Chas v'shalom, and if there was a time, a generation that had the opportunity to see how the Ta'aluma slave of Bnei Yisrael are at work, it is our generation. For instance, that entire spectrum of the Tshuva movement is all based on the Ta'aluma slave of Bnei Yisrael. You have people who for first, second, third, fourth generation, there was no Torah, no mitzvahs, no nothing. They simply had barely knowledge of the fact that they were Yidden. And then all of a sudden such a powerful awakening, where does it come from? If not from the Ta'aluma slave, some kind of a hidden resource that the person himself or herself was not aware. But then somehow affected, ki hu Elokim yachkozois. And then suddenly it would break out into the open, and that tremendous longing and yearning for Jewish identity would come up. Or you have people who come from Russia. 60, 70 years of Bolshevik rule, which had simply stamped out any kind of a remembrance of loyalty to Torah or mitzvahs or Klal Yisrael. These are all concepts. You talk to people about Shabbos or Pesach. What are you talking about? It's not in the Russian language. It's not in the English language. So what language are you talking? But they were mosa nefesh to mold their children and hold on to just this one pintel yid. You ever heard that expression? That nikuda atzmit. That's the last resource in the Ta'alumo slave of Klal Yisrael. When threatened, it suddenly came to the fore and displayed tremendous strength and resilience in the face of unbelievable challenges. And even talking about ourselves now, we are the Sheine Yidden, right? We are the beautiful people in Klal Yisrael. We are so from and so good and so nice and never find anything wrong about ourselves. Yet we know that if the price is right, we sometimes become very weak. We sell many of our sacred principles if we know that the reward that's in it for us is substantial. Lust for wealth and honors and adoration many times makes us simply compromise on some very sacred principles that are part of our commitment to Torah and Mitzvah. But nobody is suspect to betray the loyalty that is rooted in the Atzmius of Klal Yisrael. If it's a question of loyalty to Hashem Yisborach, to our Emuno, to Klal Yisrael, it's simply not an Nisoyen. We're immune to any challenges on that level. And people, even without too much learning or training, are willing to go on Kiddush Hashem to be Moser Nefesh, if that would be the challenge. So that's the resource of Kiddusho in the Ta'alumo slave of Klal Yisrael. When the Atzmius is confronted, so then Klal Yisrael has a resource that. You couldn't tell just from the externalisms. So that really is the unique story of the Nes of Purim. That was the first time that the Atzmius of Klal Yisrael was challenged. Mimisa Lachayim. And that's when Klal Yisrael proved their worth. Even when it looked like that they had betrayed their emunah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so halo elokim yachkor zos ki hu yodea ta'alum al slave, that the essence of Klal Yisrael remained perfectly loyal to Hashem Yisborach. And to release and liberate and redeem these Ta'alumo slaves, that they should come to the fore and represent the true character of Klal Yisrael, that is the unique quality of Mordechai's tefillah. The tefillah of Klal Yisrael, as Mordechai taught them, Ben Yair Ben Shimi Ben Kish, that was a tefillah that released the Ta'aluma slave of Klal Yisrael. Our question was, what's so special about this tefillah? What is unique about it? Why is that tefillah any different from any other tefillah that Klal Yisrael learned ever since the Ovos? And the answer is, all other tefillahs concern themselves with Imre Fi and Hegyon Libi. But this is the first time that the tefillah released the Ta'aluma slave of Klal Yisrael. Something that was beyond a conscious thought, certainly beyond any verbalization. But here Mordechai was Meir Einayim Shel Yisrael Bitfilosa. He enlightened Bnei Yisrael about that dimension of Ta'aluma slave that was part of their resource, and guided them to bring it out into the open and thereby display the true strength, the true character of Klal Yisrael. And that's why Shoma Kael Tefilosa. With their hands spread to the Avodah Zarah, yet the Kodesh Baruch Hu listened to their tefillah, because Ki Hu Yodea Ta'aluma Slave. Now we already say proudly on Yom Kippurim, Ata Yodea Rose Olam V'Sa'aluma Sisrei Kol Choy. And that's why we plead to you on Yom Kippur, don't look at our Maisim, don't look at our Chitzonius, don't look at our appearances, but look into our hearts. And you know, the Ta'aluma slave, that we are really loyal to. And that's when he stormed the gates of mercy. Hikish al dalse rachemim v'niftechula. And they were open to it. That was something new, that was a revelation. That was a new dimension of the Nefesh Yisrael that hadn't been known before that. And that's why Maharal uses for this particular occasion the pasuk of Hakol Kol Yaakov V'Hayodayim Yedei Eis. Because the difference between the peh and the kol in regard to tefillah is that the peh is something external, whereas the kol is an expression of the pnimius. It comes from a mokheim pnimiinister, from a hidden resource within the human being. It is so beyond verbalization that it's just called a Kol Yaakov. A Kol is just a voice. You can't even put that into words. That's just an outcry from the Ta'aluma slave of Bnei Yisrael. It is so much beyond our own comprehension that we haven't learned to verbalize it yet. We just say a Kol, Kol Yaakov. Because that is a spark coming from within the deepest recesses of the Nefesh Yisrael, whereas the Yodayim Yedei Esav, that is only Chitzonios, that is just externalism. That's all that Esav has. His Ta'aluma slave are empty. There is no resort in there. He is altogether Ra. He is only Yodayim. And since Pnimius is stronger than Chitzonius, since Atzmius is more resilient than Chitzonius, then the kripo, then the outward shell. So that's why ultimately the Kol Yaakov overwhelms the Yideyes. Look how Chazal use that lotion when we speak about the human body. So we know that the bone structure, that's really the essential part of the human body, whereas the flesh and the skin, they are just externally. So the bones are called etzem, right? That's the atzmius of the Tzuras Adam. And that's hard, whereas the externalisms, they are soft, they are mushy. And they are also replaceable. If you lose a piece of skin, it'll go back. But the bone that you lose, atzmius is irreplaceable. But it's just a mush. The whole body is just a marshal to the kochas hanefesh. But just like we see in the body that the etzem is stronger than the basar is. So in the kochas hanefesh also the atzmius is stronger than the externalisms. So the Kol Yaakov in the scheme of things will ultimately outlast the Yedei Esav. And the basic proposition of the struggle between Yaakov and Esav is the struggle between Pnimius and Chitzonius. That's why Chazal say that they made some sort of a chalukah, that Yaakov took Olam Haba and Esav took Olam Hazeh. So the relation, the yachas between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba is that Olam Hazeh is the world of Chitzonius and Olam Haba is the world of Pnimius. Olam Hazeh is the world of externalisms and Olam Haba is the world of Atzmius. So therefore, Yaakov identifies with Olam Haba, Esav identifies with Olam Olam Hazeh, and in the end, Olam Haba is going to obliterate the externalisms of Olam Hazeh. You find it the way the Torah projects Yaakov Avinu as Yoshev Oholim, and Esav is an Ish Sadeh, Vayehi Esav Ish Sadeh, Yaakov Ish Tom Yoshev Oholim. Ish Sadeh means Chitzonius. And Yoshev Aholim means Pnimius. That's their true character. And we know that Chazal say that Esav is Nimshal Chazir. Why is Esav compared to a Chazir? Because it puts out its it hooves and says, look, I'm Kosh. It's Chazafisal. That's how they call it. That's Kosh Chazafisal. His Pnimius is altogether Shekets and Tumor, but his Yodayim, the Yedei Esav, so they give an appearance of Taro and of Kashrus. So when we translate that, it means that whatever good you can discover about Rishoyim, it is just incidental to their total experience. That's a mikre. The etzem of the rosho is ra, just the incidental maaseh hatov is like the chazafisa. And by tzaddikim, their essence, their atzmius is tov. And an occasional slip, in the case of a tzaddik, is just incidental. That's incidental to the personality of the tzaddik. The basic personality, the atzmius of the tzaddik, is tov. But if there is something not kosher about the tzaddik, So it is chitzonius, it's mikre, it's incidental to his personality. Hepach so rosho, whose essence is evil and rishis. And sometimes, purely by accident, the rosho might do an act of kindness. So therefore, it is only befitting that the name of the Goel Yisroel in the Nes of Purim should be Esther Miloshen Hastora, that identifies with the Ta'alumo slave of Klal Yisroel, V'onauchi Hastor, Hastor Esponah Mehem. Initially, it looks like Klal Yisroel is drawn to Avodah Zarah, betraying the covenant. And at the time of the Tzora, Esther is mastir herself even more by not revealing as Amma ve'es moladeto. She is just a total mystery. The English word mystery is based on the Lashon HaKodesh of mistaurin. Means in Lashon HaKodesh Sikh, just like a mystery is mistower. It's the same shawrish from Esther, because the basic shawrish in Lashon HaKodesh is samach tov reish, sosa, means habal, means hidden away. So the mysterion from the Lashon of Chazal, that's the mystery in the English language. And based on that is the name Esther Hastora, whose total personality is in hiding, like the Nefesh Yisrael is in hiding during the Tzora, and the Geula from that Hastora is a revelation of the Ta'alumo slave of Klal Yisrael. Remember what Maral said, Vizehu Indian HaMegillah, because the word Megillah comes from the Shorish of Gilo, to reveal. So Megillas Esther means the revelation of the hidden resources of Klal Yisrael. The Gilui of the Nistor. And the pasuk also says, "Vayehi omein es Hadaso hi Esther." So she had yet another name. Another name was Hadaso. The Hadaso is a myrtle twig, and since we need that for the lulav, so the Gemara explains that the reason that the Hadaso is called in the Chumash. Anaf eitz avos, because she'alof chofin es eitzoy. That the unique quality of that plant is that the leaves totally hide the stem, because the stem is the etzem, and the leaves is the klipo. That's the external aspect thereof. And therefore Esther is also called Hadaso, because alof achofin es eitzo, the externalism, the external aspects and qualities totally hide and obliterate the atzmius, till it's time for the geula, that the etzem, the ta'alumos, the true character of the Nefesh Yisroel is ready to be revealed. That they are the Goy Echot Bo'aretz, and that's why the entire Neis is cloaked in a cover of sheer accident, because the word Purim means a lottery. That was all happened by accident. If you want to see it like that, it's just a queer, a quaint chain of accident that came together like just by accident Achashverosh decided to Herr Vashti beheaded, and by accident they discovered Esther as a replacement, and just by accident Mordechai overheard the conversation between Bigson and Zeresh, and just that night the king couldn't sleep, and who's in the yard. And when you read the Megillah with an ear attuned to the sheer drama thereof, so you just see like a very quaint chain of incidents that all came together, and that brought about the saving of the Jewish people. So it is then our avoider to discover the Ta'alumo slave under the cover of Chitzonios, to find the Hashkocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu beyond those Purim, beyond that lottery, beyond that game of chance. See the Hashkocha behind it. Just like we have to release the Ta'alumo slave of Bnei Yisrael from under the Hastorah, from behind that the cloak of mystery that makes it look like Klal Yisrael is just one more nation among nations, and not a unique people, a Goy Echot Boaret. That's why Chazal tell us that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nowhere to be found in the entire Megillas Esther, yet every time it says over there Melech, it is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch. So make it your business to sit down with that Megillas Esther and read it over and over, study it and learn it till you recognize that every Melech in that Megillah means Melech Malchei Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch. And as long as we don't see a Melech in every quote, so we really haven't understood that Megillah right. Just like every time that when we look around in our world and we see something that appears to be just an accident, fortunate or unfortunate, we have to learn to recognize the Hashkocha behind it. And as long as we still believe in accidents, so we haven't understood yet what it means to be a mom in the Emunah Shelema in the Hashkocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are no accidents. Everything is b'Hashkocha, this deliberation, mitzat HaKadosh Baruch, and there is a message for us that we have to recognize. Ki hu yodeya ta'alumo slev. And that's why the response of Klal Yisrael to this neis is Yimei Mishteh V'Simcha, and in practical terms we make the Yimei Mishteh drinking feasts, and even have an ambition to become Sheker. It is first of all because Nichnas Yayin Yotzes Out, because we want to bring out the Ta'alumo slave. So the Yayin has a tendency that it helps along the way to bring out the Ta'alumo slave. There's a Yiddish proverb, I don't know whether it's equivalent in English. The Yiddish proverb says that was ist ein Nichtern auf den Lung ist ein Schickern auf den Zung. Meaning, what a sober person has on his lungs, a drunk person has on his tongue. In other words, the Ta'alumo slave that you would never reveal when you are sober, nevertheless they spill out when you become drunk, and when your control isn't that good. Nichnas Yayin Yotzes Zayin. And we use a Dafka on Purim, that's the one time in an entire year, but Erech Klal the Torah demonstrates a disdain for Shikur. That's a Dover Meguna. Torah discourages it and brands it as something ugly. And on Purim it is a mitzvah. Because that is the one occasion when the Ta'alumo slave of Klal Yisrael come to the fore. And therefore we have some sort of a guarantee that it's not going to cause any damage, at least not too much. Still there's no license to drive while you're under the influence of Purim drinks. At any rate, that is the concept of Yimei Mishte v'Simcha in order to, like, sort of help along the way with the Gilui of the Ta'aluma slave of Klal Yisrael. What are the Ta'aluma slave of Klal Yisrael in practical terms that Ritzoneinu lasas Ritzoncho, we have really no other Ritzon, despite all the other protestations of our selfish Ritzonos, we really have only one desire and one ambition, and that is Lasos Ritzono Vina Shebashamayim. And despite all the adverse experiences that we have through the year, we recognize that Kolman de Ovid, Rachmon de Tav Ovid, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends our way is really for our benefit. But that's Ta'alumah slave. Even Shane Yidden sometimes like let loose and decry their own fate and destiny and misfortune. Why me? And how come I deserve that? And unwilling to accept Yisurim as being God sent, for better or for worse. But they are God sent, mimele they are for better. That's the Ta'alumo slave of Klal Yisrael. Our conscious mind can't grasp that. Bad news is bad news. I mean, there's no quibbling about it. Yes, there is. But only based on Ta'alumo slave. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Hatovu Meitiv when he identifies with the Shem HaEtzem. But in Olam Hazeh, we have to live with all kinds of different manifestations of the Rotzon Hashem. It is just on Purim we gain a glimpse of the Atzmius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Kulay Taif. So, if you want to have an assignment for Purim, between you and the lamppost, pick out that element in your life that you think is the worst tragedy, aspect, negative experience that you have to grapple with. And think it through and find the toive that's in it. That's an avoider for poor. Everybody has in his baggage a peckle of tzoks. Leiv yodeya moras nafsha. And pick out what you think is just the worst of more. And grapple with it and find in it the ultimate toive that the Hashkoche intends for you by sending this kind of an Indian your way. And you will feel released and redeemed. Im shochachnu shem Elokeinu, even if we sometimes are on the verge of denying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved. He is so good and he wouldn't send something so bad my way. Vanifras kapeinu el eil zor. Halo Elokim yachkosos. Ki hu yodeya ta'alum oslev. In our innermost heart we know that number one, that there are no accidents. Whatever happens and whatever comes our way is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that makes it good. It just takes more of an effort on our part to see the good in it.